Welcome to episode 374 with our sixth installment of Shop Talk. Carm Capriotto here with Dean Bailey of King's Auto Service and Doug Rogers of Auto Haas Import Services. They say stop using the technician shortage as an excuse. Here's a taste.
That conversation of shortage has been going on for 50, 60 years. You know, I think it's just a little different level of technician you're hiring. The way we've solved it at our shop, being hybrid specialists, I need IT people, computer people. They fully well understand the part of the car that we're specializing in. I have B and C techs that can take care of the rest of that car. So what I'm looking for are people from the IT industry.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hi, and welcome. Carm here, and get ready for some very frank talk from two shop owners who like to tell it straight. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus. For serious technical training and support, online, on-site, and on-demand, Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageGurus.com. You know, new podcast listeners and friends of the show discover the podcast every week. It is through you that the network builds. And thanks for taking up this resource as part of your learning curve. And thanks for sharing with your network. With over 475 episodes in the library, there is something for everyone. Remember, we rise by lifting others. Okay, ready for Dean Bailey from King's Auto Service in Raleigh, North Carolina, and Doug Rogers from Auto Haas Imports. Buckle up for this one. Dean and Doug say, don't use the tech shortage as an excuse. Go find one. That is one of the powerful messages that echo in this episode. Dean and Doug say that you will eventually attract the employees that match your culture. Top technicians want to work for a top shop. Are you one? Also in this episode, recorded at ASTE 2018, we talk why you need to stop micromanaging, what is the right business culture, how to become a strong leader, and why embracing autonomous cars will be important to your shop, and so much more. Find the show's talking points for Shop Talk 6 at remarkableresults.biz/E374. And please let me know if you like the Shop Talk series. Hey, in the show close, I'll let you know of a shop tour I'm doing during Industry Week 2018, and I'd love to meet you there. Hey, warm welcome to Dean Bailey and Doug Rogers. We're at ASTE here in North Carolina. Hi, guys.
Hello.
This morning.
Glad to see you. Okay, Dean, let's set you up. King's Auto Service here in Raleigh. No, in Raleigh, North Carolina?
Raleigh, North
right
Carolina.
Right here, right where
yes.
we are. That's where I flew in. Hybrid specialist.
Yes.
Wow. And family is a founding member of the Independent Garage Owners.
My uncle, Linwood King, founded it in 1946 after he got back from World War II. He was a PT boat mechanic after he was a farmer at home before he got drafted.
Okay.
And so he came back and worked for the local bus garage for a while and then founded King's Auto Service.
Cool. It was Doug who was telling me that tonight – at a ceremony, Dean's going to become the president.
Yes. Secret handshake and all.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yes.
I love that part. All right.
So I hear.
Well, great. I will be sure I'm there applauding you on to these new responsibilities.
Well, thank you.
Doug Rogers, Auto Haas, Euro specialist.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. I didn't think there were a lot of them down here in the South.
Oh, we love our Euro cars.
I bet you do, crew.
And we do a fair amount of Asian work as well.
All right. Well, I've had a chance to kind of chat with these guys. They're you know each other, by the way.
We do.
Yes.
And we kind of shared some emails before.
Did?
And you told me to be prepared.
Doug likes to make some noise, but he's a good guy. I like him a lot.
Okay, guys. Well, look, we talked yesterday in this panel about technicians and benefits and retention, and you know, one thing came up about the tech shortage, and everybody says, yeah, there's a tech shortage. But can we start talking about solutions?
Absolutely.
Go.
How many techs do you need in your shop? Nationwide, there may be a shortage, but you may just need one or two, or in a really big shop, three or four. Yes, you can train your own, and that's great, but don't use a technician shortage as an excuse to go, I can't do this for my customer, I can't that. Go find one. Start with one. If you can't find one, then you need to examine what you're doing. If you can't find one, chunk it down, make it a problem you can solve.
What if I can't find one, Doug, that has a resume that I like, or maybe even the attitude that I want to hire?
Well, look at your operations, look at your systems. You may appear to be just another run-of-the-mill shop. Your place may be dirty. You may not come across as a place that they should hook their start or ship to get better and get where they want to go in life. You have to be able to show that potential employee that they want to hook up with you, and like attracts like.
You know, that's a great point. Have any of you either recruited from the current team, the staff? Do you, you know, techs know each other?
Yes.
Have you ever been able to hire somebody through referral?
Yes.
Yes, I agree.
The other thing that we find is important, which is what Doug's talking about, is the culture of the shop. And you want the culture to be there, then you'll attract the people. I agree. I don't think there's a shortage. That conversation of shortage has been going on for 50, 60 years. You know, I think it's just a little different level of technician you're hiring. The way we've solved it at our shop, being hybrid specialists, I need IT people, computer people. They fully well understand the part of the car that we're specializing in. I have B and C techs that can take care of the rest of that car. So what I'm looking for are people from the IT industry.
That's true, and it's the same. Basically, Dean, it's becoming that way on all cars. Yes, you need a B tech that can hang parts. Absolutely, that's part of profitability. But your A technicians, they need to be IT guys.
Right.
I mean, they've got to have the intelligence and the intellect to be able to diagnose complex systems.
Sure, I agree totally. And I found my last hire, it was literally by accident, but what I learned in that is that I'm going to look in the IT industry for these techs, a lot of them that understand the CAN systems, the connections in the cars. Those are big critical problems, and if they can understand and solve those problems, we can teach them the rest.
This is true.
And they oftentimes, even though they thought they didn't want to get their hands dirty, they end up liking that part of it because they've mastered the other piece. Now they have another challenge. It's, okay, I'm going to learn total vehicle.
Is it worth for us to learn about what you said by accident? Was it something we could learn from how you found your tech?
I think so. You know, it was the most unlikely thing. This guy had worked at a lube shop that I bought. Well, one of his compadres said, hey, I know a guy that's he's tending bar now and he's working in the IT field, but he hates it. And he said he needs to come in and start changing oil for us. And I'm like, well, what else can you do? Well, it turns out he worked for a phone call-in IT solution for consumers, so he was used to working with consumers over the phone. And to me, that's probably one of the highest or hardest things to diagnose.
Oh, it's such a stressful job.
Oh, my God.
And,
especially if they get me on the phone.
Then, you know, when you're able to connect him directly into the car, he's like, he's just plowing through it like he's.
So what's his expertise? Is it the communications? Is he a customer service rep or is he a tech?
He's a tech.
He's a tech now.
Yes.
So because of his computer ease,
yes,
he assimilated into the job.
Right.
So this is the grow your own concept.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you do? What, you know, give us some 1, 2, 3 steps on what you did to get him up to speed.
Well, the first thing I started sending him to class is a course. We work with CTI, which is CarQuest Technical Institute. You met Chris
Chesney. Oh, I know Chris. Yes.
Or before then, probably.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So they have lots of good classes in that. Craig Van Battenberg teaches a lot of these classes that we've spent.
Now, wait a minute. We need to tell everyone. You see, Dean was late for the interview, and we sent Doug out to find him. And Doug says, I know exactly where he is. He's in Craig's class.
Yeah.
And so Bob Pulverendi comes by, and he goes, he could teach that class. He says he doesn't need to be there. Get him in the interview.
Yeah. I was listening to a new instructor that Craig's got working with,
Isaac.
Yeah. And it was an interesting perspective of what he had on the subject. So I wasn't checking my watch.
That's okay, man. We'll get this done real quick so you can get back. Okay?
No, I'm good.
That's great. Any grow your own experiences?
Typically in my store, I have some I'm working with now. The jury's still out on whether they're going to evolve into who I need them to be. Generally, when people come to my shop, I need a certain skill level to start with because I'm looking to hire a techs. So then if you've got the skill set, you can come and start to work. Then we see if you are a personality fit with our shop and our culture. And I've had a lot of highly skilled technicians that didn't work out ultimately, not due to their inability to work on cars, but their inability to be a team member, which is vital. Because we're a team. We're six people right now that work together all day long. And if you don't love one another and back each other up all the time in a spirit of teamwork, it makes the day very long.
I'm talking with Mike Zralik, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Mike, are you an extension of the technical support center we all know as Garage Guru?
Most definitely. You know, I spend a lot of time there. I'm involved in all the classes that go on there. I actually host classes there, such as our ASC test prep courses. So very much so an extension of that.
Mike, you're in the shop. So what's the greatest outcome that you see from the techs and service advisors that you're spending time with?
Not only are they learning about great product, but we get to talk shop. So, like, you know, I was in a shop earlier today, and we were talking about some electrical diagnosis he was doing, and he was actually having a problem finding some schematics, and we were able to work with that and talk back and forth. So I was able to get educated on a problem he's having in the field, you know, where I can share that with others, and I can share other ideas from other people with him.
Do you actually put product in the hands of the technicians?
You have to. That's, you know, in this industry, a lot of guys are like myself. You got to touch it, feel it, play with it. You know, just telling them about features and benefits isn't going to sell it. You put it in their hands, that's going to sell it hands down.
So you take the new Wagner OEX brake pad and you put it in someone's hands. What happens?
First thing they do is say, wow. Then they start asking questions about the unique design of it, the unique shape, and the purpose of that. You know, and they're very blown away by the technology that we put into it. They're amazed by it, and they're loving it.
Eyes light up, aha moments.
You bet. You bet. And why is it taking so long to get this out in the market?
And I need them, and I want it right now.
Exactly.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com.
You both have said, importantly, culture.
Absolutely.
You said the love word.
Yes.
I love talking about that. Love talking about that. Love talking about love. And I've always told people that I believe love inside of a business is an action verb, that we care for each other. I don't know if you're a hugger or not, it just doesn't matter. Right. But that brings family and camaraderie to the environment. Give us a feel, you know, share with the audience the importance of You, I'm sure you didn't open the place and had a perfect culture, but somewhere along the line, guys, you realized the importance of it and you built it, and now it's the glue.
Absolutely. Here's what I found. Originally, I was the shop owner, and everyone that I hired was there to come in and make me money, which is true to a point. But when you put yourself at the top of the pyramid, then you're missing the point. I learned to put myself at the bottom of the pyramid and support my best customers who are my employees, make them want to be there. And if I need to make another $100,000, then I need to be able to see how that employee is going to make 40, knowing that my 100 will be there at the end rather than vice versa, where where's my money, where's my cheese, and some guy's living off in a trailer eating beanie weenies, not wanting to come to work. So that a servant mentality as a shop owner.
I was just going to say that you're serving the people who serve your customer.
Absolutely.
100%. I agree with that totally. That's a culture shift in our shop from probably 20 years ago when I was more of a technician in the shop. You know, it was more a competitive thing for me. But what I learned was that I was my own worst enemy by trying to get everyone to do it the way I do it.
Absolutely. Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so what I did is very much like what Doug did, is I just stepped back and said, hey, I'm going to clean the bathrooms for them. I'm going to find out every day what can I get you or do for you that makes your job easier. And if I have an employee that calls in and says, hey, I don't feel good today, and we already know what kind of employee he is, I'm going to say, hey, stay home. We got your back. We'll get it covered.
Absolutely. Yeah.
To me, it's not that important to have a mill that just produces something. And, you know, as they said yesterday on that Comcast, that, you know, to me, it's more important to have people want to come to work.
Sure.
Feel good because you're there so long.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You know, I get up. I love to come to my shop every morning more than I ever have.
Yeah.
And I'm not ashamed to say I'm 64. And it took me till I was 60 to figure out what I wanted to do when I grew up. You know, and that included being a technician at the dealership level for 25 years, starting my own shop because my body was wearing out.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to be a shop owner. I didn't want to be a leader, but I had to realize somebody's going to lead this thing. And if it's not you, who's it going to be?
Yes.
And I get out of bed every morning going, hooray, I don't have to sit home and watch daytime television. I get to go to my shop.
Right.
Is there a secret about getting up in the morning so you can face the world?
Well, how I try to approach it is when I wake up, I make sure I'm having a good day before I ever put my feet on the floor. Get your head right. Get your attitude right, or at least point it in the right direction.
Did you ever pause and say, hey, I'm going to lay here for another 5 minutes because I'm not ready?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
You too.
I have to totally agree. I sit up in my bed, and first thing in the morning is I meditate, say my prayers, sit there a moment, let all the blood go back where it's supposed to from sleeping that night, and then I think about, okay, what was it yesterday we were doing that's really important that we need to get done? Or what do I have to do when I go in today to resolve a problem with one of my employees that's got a family crisis or something like that?
And that really helps set the tone. I mean, I think your people in the cultures that you've developed expect you to come in as their supreme leader, and I don't mean that in an exalted way, but they follow your lead.
Absolutely. They are going to, if you come in a bad mood, everybody's going to be in a bad mood that day.
Absolutely.
That's
and it's going to be all right.
Okay, so one of your techs, your service writer, they come in a bad mood, and your litmus test says that. Do you try to handle that in the morning, or do you let them work it out?
Well, yeah. The first thing I try and figure out is what's going on in their life that day that they don't feel good. And it's very similar to customers, and Doug may see this as well. We'll have customers that we've been working on their cars for 20 years, and they come in, and they're just mean and ornery, and we've never seen them behave that way. And then that sort of gets the service people kind of all riled up, and I'm like, well, guys, come here. I said, something's going on in their life right now that you don't need to take offense because, you know, just because they're being mean to you today, that's out of their character. Something's up. So my staff will kind of tiptoe around getting to, hey, what's going on? Is everything all right with you today? And a lot of them will just say, hey, yeah, as a matter of fact, I had this happen. And we're like, okay, is there anything we can do to make your life easier other than your car today?
Sometimes you have to fix the people before you can fix the car.
I agree.
It's part of the unpaid work that we do. You can't bill for fixing them.
Dr. Doug.
Well, it's true. I'm glad I took psychology in school. And
you would have never known, you know, how many years later that is paying off for you. You mentioned delegate, and I, Doug, you and I were talking about micromanaging, and it's not a healthy thing to be a micromanager, and I think you learned that.
Yes. Well, as a technician, you tend to a few things is black or white, fixed or broke. There's not much gray area in between, and actually most of life is one huge gray area. I still struggle with that, but you're never going to succeed, I don't think, if you've got the mentality of there's only one way to do this. This is my way. You have to find people you can trust, and you have to give them enough rope to make their own mistakes, and you'll often be surprised at glaringly obvious solutions to problems that they find really simple. As technicians, we get a lot of our pats on the back from solving complex problems. And I still do that. I'm a simple man, but I'm very complex in my simplicity. And I'll walk past a simple solution to find something complex because it feeds my ego. Well, I need to step back and let our team members find their own solutions and just be there as training wheels as when they need that of advice.
I like what you said, training wheels.
Perfect. And it goes back to he and I became really good technicians because of all the mistakes we made. Mm-hmm. And we try to not let our employees make those mistakes, which is a mistake. We have to step back, let them do their thing, let them make the mistakes, then figure out how to correct them. And I think more now in the last 5 years or more, I've given them, empowered them to do that. I don't want to solve their problems for them anymore. For me, it's not as big of ego repair for me. I've moved into the hybrid area, which keeps my attention. I'm learning more than ever, so it gives me a lot of time to do that. And I don't have all the answers for that, so that sort of keeps me in check, and I'm out of their way. And it's amazing how well they do with me out of their way.
Isn't it amazing?
I know. Yeah, yeah.
Who'd have thunk it?
You know, just hearing you talk, Doug, about so that it feeds your ego. I mean, was it really difficult for you to stop micromanaging and delegate more? And if it was or wasn't, what was the secret? How did you get that to work?
Well, I saw my results weren't what I needed them to be. And I didn't start out wanting to lead. I wanted to own a shop. And that was, you know, as I said earlier, somebody's going to lead the business and it needs to be you. Because if not, then someone else is going to be leading it, and they're going to put their culture on it. So you have to have someone you can trust. That's the thing. And I kissed a lot of frogs along the way, and they did not turn into handsome princes or princesses. I got warts on my lips. And eventually, over the 15 years I've been in business, I've got a handful of keepers now, and I have a young manager in my store, and she knows when she comes to me to already have her solution. Don't dump a problem on my desk, because I'm going to hand it right back to you, because she's got to grow her muscle.
Trust, big word. That's it. I think that's a code breaker here for delegation and no micromanaging and trusting your team. Leaders have to learn to trust.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I learned from a wise guy that intelligent person that said, a lot of times we already know the answer to the question we're going to ask someone. So you just say to them, like he's saying is, you have this problem, you're sharing it with me, how do you think we can fix that? Yeah. Not me telling them how to fix that. And, you know, I find out a lot of times their solution's better than the one I would have given. Mine would have worked. It might have been a little rougher. But, you know, that really empowers your employees and makes them feel really good. Now, that boosts their ego. It's not about my ego
anymore.
It
boosts their loyalty as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, leadership. I've got a ton of books that we've talked about on the podcast for the last 3.5 years. There's a page, books, lots of books on leadership. What was the defining moment in your lives that you crossed that bridge and said, I'm going to be a good leader? And then where did you learn how to be a good leader?
Well, it was reading a lot of empowerment books, being in 20 groups with people like Doug and other shop owners that we all strive to have solutions to what's going to make the perfect shop, right? And it doesn't work for everyone because we're independents. That's the name of our association. So what works for him and his culture may not work for my culture. But the fact that we're pushing to have a better culture, whatever that is, I think is the most important thing.
I had to learn to fix me. That was the thing. There are a lot of books out. I'm not a big business book reader. I've got a couple of favorites that I keep falling back on. But I got associated with some training, some of it speaking here this weekend. But they fixed the shop owner. And once the shop owner fixes himself, everything else flows so easily. Training's a big piece of it. Whatever flavor of training you need. I had worked with 2 or 3 training groups over the years before I found my home, but I have found it now. And we just this past week surpassed our revenue for 2017 with a quarter to go due to me fixing me at my age. You're never done. If you're not learning, you're wasting the airway.
You said you're 64?
Yes.
And you're still a student?
Absolutely. Every day.
I totally get that and believe in that. I love the words, you have to be a perpetual student.
Yes.
Or a student in perpetuity.
Right. Every day.
That makes life wonderful. You know, who wants to get up in bed going, I know it all? I look in the mirror when I'm brushing my teeth and I tell myself every morning, remember, you know nothing.
I can't help but think that this is such a great dialogue from you guys. Part of the problem of our industry is image and pay, and you know we just can't seem to do a lot of the things to get out of our own way. And I think you really helped sum it all up. Fix you, and you can fix
right.
the problems.
Right. And I think we've had a lot of people help us understand why we're our biggest enemy.
Absolutely.
And there's the point. The other point, and I had written the word down, coaching. And have both of you had business coaches, and,
yes.
and you really can lend that focus
yes.
to the fact that really those were really big changes in your life when you opened up to that.
Yes. Absolutely, you don't see your own problems. You can't see the nose on the end of your face, or whatever that old adage is. You can't see your own nose. You can't see your own faults. You see everybody else's faults, but if you don't have somebody that's not emotionally involved. In your drama that can look at you and guide you and point things out. Some of them are very obvious. It took me 10 years in the school of hard knocks, and I learned in 1 year more than I learned in 10 with some good coaching.
Yeah. I've had good mentors over the years, my uncles, my cousins. But, you know, business changes. People change. How you react to generations and what drives them is a key critical thing. Not that I've got it figured out, but I have a better idea of why they think like they do. And so me stepping back and saying, well, I'm a baby boomer. I don't understand why they do that or why they're not like me. I think we all wanted them to be just like us because we understood us better than we understood somebody else. But it turns out, I think I never really understood myself.
there's that. I have millennials in my business that understand that mindset. I think it's an easy answer to say, oh, you're a boomer, you're a millennial, you're this, you're that, and you're this way. People are very complicated, and I feel like as shop owners, what we have to offer is relationship. And anybody can fix cars. I mean, not anybody, but the dealer can fix cars. The shop down the street can fix cars. What you have to offer is your unique shop and your unique relationship, and that resonates with people of a certain frequency, whether they're 78 years old or 28. We have relationship and good, honest trust to offer people, and those that are motivated by that will do business with us, not necessarily the person who's going to be shopping for the very bottom basement price or walks through the door going, oh, I know what's wrong with my car. You know, we work on those things and we try to educate them, but we have a relationship to offer. And as long as we do that, I don't think it's particularly age-related.
Yeah, I agree. I think we all are made the same. We just have learned different things over the years, things how we grew up. You know, I can say that back in our day when we had a problem with a car, we didn't have a computer database to go on or a group that we could say, have you ever seen this problem? We would call one another and say, hey, I know you work on this type of vehicle.
Absolutely.
Have you seen this problem? And so for us, we've had to learn that this new generation of techs, they're going to get it off the internet or Facebook or even Twitter sometimes. The way they get, I think the difference is the way they get information.
Yeah.
It's just the biggest.
And there's a lot more information out there, and it's a good thing. Yeah. Some of it's dangerous, though, but in the wrong hands, it can be dangerous.
Where are we headed as an industry? What do you guys got planned next? Give us some insights.
Well, for us, I think we have to embrace autonomous vehicles. I think for us to succeed going forward in the future, we're going to have to be ready to figure out how to network with fleet management to get these autonomous cars to come to our shop for those repairs. And that's going to be, I think, a whole different setup where the parts are going to be shipped in by them because they know based on the repair manuals that they have in their database that spark plugs are going to be due at this mileage and that car is going to show up. But an hour before that or whenever the plugs arrive, we're going to have to charge more labor to do
this. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. You've got to adjust. You still got to make X amount of money.
We're going to lose money on the parts side, so we have to increase to cover that. But I see that that's going to come. There'll still be people that want to drive themselves. But I honestly think in a city like ours, that's more likely than light rail. Light rail, people want a vehicle to get in because their child's sick at daycare. They're not going to want to wait for the train to go to a parking lot to get in their car to ride. What do you think about that, Doug?
I think you are an extremely forward-thinking individual, and I compliment you on that. I believe that you and I will both be dead in our graves, buried and long forgotten, before we have to deal with, as I call them, ominous cars.
Ominous.
Yes, there's going to be some of them out there.
Yeah.
There are. But we, like it or not, are going to go to our graves less and less burning the resources of the original organ donors, those being the dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. I am an unapologetic lover of V8s and powerful cars, and it's not a popular opinion, but my lifetime of pollution will contribute so little to the overall global pollution that's created by huge corporations and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, I do what I do, but I don't think I'm going to deal with that. I don't need 2,000 cars a month or 4,000 cars a month. I'm content to let the hybrid drivers drive hybrids, and I'll recommend them to you to fix because I know you're going to do an awesome job just like you recommend some Euro cars to me. I do what I do, and we fix We fixed cars you drive, and I don't think in my lifetime it's going to make a minute's difference. And I look at being involved in my business another 6-7 years. Right. And after that, I'll have partners that have bought it from me, and they can deal with that.
Yeah, but I think it's coming. And so just like hybrids, we started preparing and training for hybrids at least 10 years ago. 6 years ago, when we saw our first high voltage battery pack that we rebuilt, it's now we would see maybe one hybrid a month. We see them 5, 6, 7 a week. The number of them out there for us, we were sort of first in. It's been good for us. I agree, we'll probably be older. But that's the plan I think I have to set forth now. We need a niche in our company going forward, because it's going to be hard to compete with more tire stores, because there's going to be less maintenance-owned vehicles. Luxury cars, powerful cars that burn a lot of fuel, that have a lot of power, those it'll be a smaller group of people, but there'll be a smaller group of people to work on them.
You bring up a great point. Tire stores want to do total automotive. Transmission shops want to do total automotive. There's an awful lot of people moving into the repair business. They've got a lot to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. It's going to dilute the technicians that we have out there. But I think this whole thing on niche is important. You're a hybrid specialist. You're a Euro specialist. Very interesting. I'll send my cars to you. You send your cars to me, the ones that, you know, I know you'll do a better job with. Is that going to be a – and I love what you said about autonomous cars, and I really respect what you said, Doug. But is it going to be a niche industry? Are we going to have – are there going to be more Euro and Asian specialists and more hybrid specialists? Are we going to segment?
It becomes harder to be all things to all people. I don't advertise to domestic vehicles, but we fix them all day, every day. I think there's a problem if you try to appear to be all things to all people. Most people are going to think they're not good at any one thing.
So if I had an Audi and a Chevy, you're going to fix my Chevy?
We do it every day.
Every day. Okay, so you're a specialty shop in name, but you're all things to all people.
I've got a sign out in front of my shop that says we fix everything, and I've been challenged on some of that. Will you fix my 83 Fiat? Well, no, but we fix most everything.
But, you know, I think it's like us. He has customers that have a BMW, but they also have a pickup truck.
Yeah.
Doug, I like what you do for my BMW. Will you work on my pickup truck?
Sure, I don't want to have to go
somewhere. So if he says yes, then that's great.
If you said no to pickup trucks, being down here in North Carolina.
I've heard that from people a lot. Some very smart people, but I live in Raleigh, and there are a lot of trucks. I mean, I worked on 2 or 3 pickup trucks this week, but they're not a big portion of our market, because we're fortunate enough right now. We live in a destination city, and people are moving here for jobs and well-paid jobs, and our business model doesn't necessarily bring in a lot of pickup trucks, but if you show up in one, we'll do it.
Dean, you jumped into autonomy. I mean, wow, talk about trends, and he just jumped. You said, well, you're going to be dead and gone before that happens.
Yes.
Let's bring it back a little bit and talk about ADAS. We're going to see that stuff still while you guys are working in
right.
your shops. What are you doing to prepare for that?
Well, we've been through a lot of training already. We've seen them for quite some time. They're on all the vehicles, the newer ones they work on. We see damage to radar sensors on cars from where they bump in parking lots. And as Chris Chesney mentioned yesterday, there's a procedure on how to test it and install it. If you don't do it right, you're going to have some skin in the game if there's an accident. And you know, so you have to embrace those things, and you have to start understanding them completely. You know, it's an old adage we have in the industry. If you don't understand how a system works, how are you going to understand how to fix it?
Absolutely.
So you got to know that.
So training, training. And stop and respect the fact that each and every car is going to have something different to make those major repairs. So don't assume that how you did this job on this platform yesterday is going to work on this the same platform in a different model tomorrow.
Exactly, and they do evolve. And for instance, we have Ford pickup trucks that we work on that have blind spot on them. And I explain to a lot of people that don't understand it, and these are the customers. Well, you know, I almost hit someone yesterday because my blind spot didn't pick up on the left side. I'm like, well, here's the scenario I'm guessing happened. You saw it coming up, and it was flashing. The light was telling you someone's coming up on your left side. Yes. I'm like, and then suddenly it quit, right? Yes. Well, what happened is now the vehicle's moving at the same speed you're moving, so it doesn't see it anymore. So you have to be careful of that. Some systems are more advanced than others, and they could be 2 feet away from you because they've moved to the other lane. You cannot rely on those things 100% to save you from an accident. They're only helpers.
I don't even trust mirrors. Mirrors will lie to you. They tell me I've got less hair. My face is more wrinkled. mirrors will lie to you.
Oh my God! So Doug and Dean and I are kind of coordinating the time and getting ready. And Doug sends me an email. He says you may want to rethink this interview because we know each other and it could get ugly. He says, I have no filters whatsoever. Doug says to me. Now you're sitting here laughing here. So don't get me started about Elon Musk, Tom Brady, Duke basketball, cheap domestic beer, hipsters, cats, or capitalism is going. That set the tone for our interview. You behaved.
I was
cautioned.
He does
better than he claims.
I was cautioned by my wife to not embarrass her today. So, and I endeavor to do that from time to time.
Well, I thank you for inviting us here today.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it.
Great. A lot of great wisdom from you guys. I love this. We got to classify this as the change or be changed episode. Lead culture.
Yeah. Got to do it.
Love it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Carm.
Dean Bailey and Doug Rogers. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dean Bailey and Doug Rogers, for your insights and wisdom in running and building your cultures amidst the tech shortage and other aftermarket challenges. Our aftermarket appreciates your contributions and your leadership. By the way, Dean Bailey is the new president of IGONC. This episode's key talking points can be found at remarkableresults.biz/E374. Hey, for your information, I'll be doing the live Town Hall Academy on November 2nd, 2018 from Las Vegas, Nevada at Frank's European. The show is about the value of shop tours, and Frank and I are inviting all who will be in the area to stop by at 9 a.m. on November 2nd and get a tour and spend some time looking at Frank's business. I hope to see you there. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.